talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. I've said before, history is made every minute, every second, whether you're awake or not. It's being made this week. It's a lot of it's being made this week. Your grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be reading about it in the history books. We're going to start right off. It's looking very likely that Donald Trump will be indicted by a New York grand jury and will have to be, if he's not arrested, show up voluntarily and be processed. A lot of late-breaking developments on that, and I want to go through them. The crime that he is going to be indicted for is in the books of his company. He listed the $130,000 hush money payment to Stormy Daniels, the porn actress, to cover up the affair, to stop her from going public. But he listed it on the books of his company as legal fees. In the state of New York, it is illegal for a company to misrepresent something like that, a payment like that. By doing that, it's a misdemeanor. Misdemeanor in all states, easiest way to define it, is a criminal offense that's punishable by less than a year in jail. It's punishable by more than a year in jail, it's a felony. That's a very rough delineation between felony and misdemeanor. The consequences to you of being convicted of the two are very large. If you're convicted of a felony, you can't vote, you can't have certain jobs, it'll follow you the rest of your life. A misdemeanor ain't great, but you can still vote, and it doesn't disqualify you for the same jobs that a felony would. This charge can be increased to a felony if the misrepresentation was done deliberately to conceal it. In this particular case, to conceal it, because it happened just shortly before the presidential election in 2016 in that October. And if it had come out, it could have swayed the election. And the theory is that it could be bootstrapped into a felony. I don't know if Alvin Bragg, the DA, is going to do that, but it'll at least be a misdemeanor. There are a lot of consequences to that, and I'm going to mention one of them. A president, even a former president, has two roles. He's the head of government, but he's also the head of state. In the UK, for instance, those roles are split, and they're also split in other countries around the world. So in the UK, for instance, the head of government is the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. The head of state is King Charles. Theoretically, the name Prime Minister just means first minister of all the cabinet. In the old days, they were deferential to the king. Now they pretend to be deferential to the king. Ceremonially, they are, but they're not deferential to him on policy. But in the United States, starting with George Washington, the president was head of state and head of government. So you have people ranging from Michael Cohen, who can't stand Trump, who got set up by Trump, who took the dive on Stormy Daniels and spent time in prison, who was advocating for Trump to be convicted, nevertheless said he did not think that Trump should be handcuffed, perp-walked, and treated like a common criminal, but he should be given the chance to surrender, come in, not in handcuffs, get fingerprinted, processed, and then released on some kind of bail pending the charges. That is normally what you do anyway with a white-collar crime misdemeanor. If it's a felony, we'll see. And what's a perp walk? You've heard the term. In the big cities, New York, Chicago, LA, although I've never heard it done here in Milwaukee, The DAs like the publicity of taking the perp, the perpetrator, the defendant, and walking him around the block so the papers can take his picture, and they're on TV that night, and it looks very dramatic. And sometimes, if no one shows up, the DA in New York, for instance, and in Chicago and in LA, will call the media. They'll say, when can you be here? And they can say, we'll be here in half an hour. They'll get great. And then half an hour later, they perp walk him again. Yank him out of the cell. Sometimes they let him wear a shirt so he can put it over his head and look like he's disguising himself. It's great theater. Well, Trump's not going to be perp walked, but even Michael Cohen said he shouldn't be perp walked. Now, in my opinion, it's not certain that he is going to be indicted anytime soon. He may be. One of the things he said to his supporters are, I'm going to be arrested tomorrow, come to New York, and basically do a January 6th again. He has thinly advocated a rally that could include violence. And right now, there's an awful lot of social media threats, pressure, although people like Kevin McCarthy aren't stupid, and they have said, don't commit violence. And some of the people who were involved in January 6th have said, I'm retired, I'm not part of it, because they don't want that to happen again to them. They don't care about the country. The reason I say I'm not certain, and that may be mere posturing on Trump's side, is this. Trump, under New York law, and this is not the law in most states, but in New York, if you're going to be indicted by a grand jury, the DA invites you to appear before the grand jury to give your side of it. That's not true of most grand juries. Under the grand jury rules, and I'll give a federal grand jury as an example, they don't have to present any exculpatory evidence at all to the grand jury. They can produce hearsay. A cop or an FBI agent can get on and show a report and say, I was told by this guy, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, such and such. And I was told by that guy, and I'm not going to tell you who he is, such and such. Pure hearsay. And then the prosecutor argues for the conviction, and the defense lawyer isn't told. The defendant isn't told. Sometimes they don't know about it at all. There's an old saying that a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. I mean, that's an extreme, but not much. In my whole career practicing law, and it was extensive, I know of one grand jury that refused to return an indictment, even though the prosecutor wanted it, and that involved a very prominent Milwaukee company with a great reputation, and they were alleged to have screwed up somehow, and the grand jury wasn't buying it. It's very rare, but New York has this deal. So what does Trump do? Trump's lawyers aren't stupid. They're not going to put Trump in front of the grand jury, be under oath. He'd have to take the fifth on most things. But they said, can we bring in a guy named Bob Costello and have him be Trump's response? New York law does not require, in my opinion, that the prosecutor let that happen, and it's going to delay things. And what's Bob Costello going to do? Apparently, he's going to attack Michael Cohen, because it looks like Alvin Bragg will permit Bob Costello to testify. And then he has called Michael Cohen as a rebuttal witness. So this ain't going to happen.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This ain't going to happen tomorrow.
All right. Thank you for calling, Dick.
So what is the purpose of this Bob Costello? What's the purpose of his testifying? Apparently, he's going to say that Cohen is no good. Okay. He can go ahead and say that. But Bob Costello is a problem, and so does Donald Trump, because Bob Costello at one point may have insinuated that he would represent Michael Cohen. He'll represent Michael Cohen and get him a pardon from Trump. Cohen turned him down, and then Costello left and joined the Trump team. That would be an ethical problem for Costello. Why am I saying all this? Why are we trying? Because this is a typical Trump tactic. Everything I've just said is totally out of the ordinary, totally ridiculous, but it will delay things. And that's what Trump's really at. He wants to delay things till the debate's in August, because once he's a full-fledged candidate, and we're going to talk about that a little more, makes it harder and harder to indict him. Bragg should have done it 6 months ago. He didn't. He should do it now. I wouldn't let Bob Costello testify. What's the purpose? We're going to go to the lines quickly. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Yeah, Lou Costello would probably be better. But, you know, this whole charade with Trump over the weekend, Kevin McCarthy weighed in on it, and this is about as pathetic as it gets, and I'll see if you think so. When he was talking about the whole situation, he goes, well, this is about the weakest of all the cases that are out there. I'm paraphrasing him. Is that not the most pathetic thing you ever heard when you're talking about somebody running for president? In other words, he's saying, well, there's countless number of other cases out there, which there are. But how pathetic is this that we've got somebody like this running for president?
Yeah, right. Right. Your response is, hey, they got him on murder and they got him on burglary. And here they're going after him for disorderly conduct. You know, that's really great. Well, let me pick up on that, Dick, because here's what happens. Kevin McCarthy himself, even though he told everybody don't commit violence, Kevin McCarthy said they shouldn't go after Trump. And he's joined by Elise Stefanik, the number three. Remember, she's the one that bumped off Liz Cheney for the number three. And Andy Biggs, who is bad news. Marjorie Taylor Greene, J.D. Vance. That's the novelist in Ohio, used to be a liberal Democrat and just switched, flat out switched. All of them are saying, oh, no, this is unfair. This is unfair. And even though Kevin McCarthy pretended to cry some crocodile tears and say, don't commit violence, don't commit violence, don't commit violence, everybody on the Republican side is insinuating there will be violence. This is a party that has harnessed violence or the threat of violence to intimidate people. It's the first time in the history of the United States there was something like it back between 1859 and 1861 that led to a civil war. We're going to talk about this some more. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For a long time, sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we can take a quick break from the possibility of the Trump indictment. I want to talk quickly about the state Supreme Court race and some developments there. Remember something. The election's 2 weeks from tomorrow. 2 weeks from tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, you'll be able to vote in-person absentee, which is what I like to do. Some of you may have already gotten your ballots by mail. Some will. It's a great way to vote, too. And Election Day is a great way to vote. But if you're going to have child care issues on Election Day, work issues, you can't get off, whatever, you're going to be traveling. You have now till the Friday before the election, in other words, between now and a week from Friday, or I should say tomorrow, a week from Friday, to go in-person absentee. What I have found is that there are short to non-existent lines. In Milwaukee, I go down to the municipal building downtown. And I go into the municipal building, and sometimes they're just sitting there, just dying for customers, especially in something like this, an April race for the Supreme Court and no presidential race on the ballot. So you go in, they give you your ballot. They're very helpful. They walk you over to the machine, show you, you know, there's some updates here that are very interesting. And then you just vote. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz. Very, very important. And there are going to be some referenda, and that's one reason why I want to raise that issue now. I got an email from Nancy, one of our listeners, who mentioned that there are 6 referenda on her ballot, and they are confusing, some of them perhaps deliberately confusing, and what do they stand for and what should she do? And what I said, and I want to respond on the air because it's a very good question. there are 72 counties in this state. Without knowing the county, because some referenda are local to counties and some are statewide, it's not possible, without knowing the county, to say what the referenda really mean and what my recommendation would be on voting on it, or at least how I would vote for it if I were in that county. Let me give you a rule of thumb, everybody. Some referenda are statewide, and at least one of them is a constitutional amendment. A constitutional amendment has to pass two successive sessions of the legislature, and then it's put on a ballot. And a governor like Tony Evers can't veto even a gerrymandered legislature's resolution or something on the ballot that would change the Constitution. That's the problem with a gerrymandered legislature. They, in two successive sessions, can do whatever they want. And if they trick voters, it can become part of our Constitution without the opportunity of a veto. One of them that's like that has to do with bail. Now, most people, and I'm included, think that we need amendments to our bail system. But there's absolutely no reason why that can't be done in a legislature with a full veto power and a line item veto of the governor. That's how it's normally done. In this case, you'll see things like cash bail and this, that, and the other thing. Let me tell you my view on it. In the federal system, and that's what I think we should adopt, quite frankly. You can have some very dangerous defendants held without bail. Let's take terrorists who try to blow up the World Trade Center. And I don't mean just on 9/11. I mean 10 years before that, the blind sheik who put bombs in the parking garage of the World Trade Center, killed people. There's no amount of cash bail that you would set for him that some illicit people couldn't put up. ISIS, China, Iran, Russia. And there are other people like that. You know what you do with them? Or Russian spies who are caught in this country? They don't get any bail. We have Saudi Arabian students who committed felonies in Washington, D.C. They're large bails. They posted them, and then they flew out of the country and didn't come back. That is not included in this particular resolution, number one. Number two, the resolution as it's drafted is unnecessary, and it was done only because the Republicans want to gin up votes for Dan Kelly. They somehow thought that that would help, but they made it so confusing and seemingly rigged that it just aroused suspicion. Why do I say it's not necessary right now, over and above the issue of not being able to hold people, terrorists, without cash bail? Because judges already set very high cash bail if they think there's a danger on the part of the person that would be released. I'll give you an example. Milwaukee County court commissioner set bail. I know instances where the court commissioner set $1 million bail in a domestic violence case. Why? Because the guy threatened to kill his girlfriend. And in the past, what you do is you'd let him out on $10,000 bail and he'd have a no contact order. And he went and killed his girlfriend. This happened a long time ago. You get $1 million for that and you can't post it. So they're already doing what seemingly is in this thing. I am going to vote against any resolution or any constitutional amendment that a gerrymandered legislature puts out without the opportunity of the governor to veto it, because it's presumptively fraudulent. Why? Because the Republican caucus is presumptively fraudulent in everything they do because they're gerrymandered. There's another one about welfare recipients having to work. There already are work requirements for welfare recipients. And the Republicans consider unemployment comp as welfare, which it's not. But you have to sign up to look for work and unemployment comp. Anything like that, vote against it if it's statewide. If it's local, rule of thumb, in Milwaukee, there's one that would enshrine Roe v. Wade into law. It's not binding. Yeah, vote for it. If you're in a Republican county, don't vote for any of it. If you're in a Democratic county, vote for the local ones. Real rule of thumb, but there's 72 counties and there's only 2 weeks. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back at you. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Mary of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Mary?
Hi, Matt. The reason I'm calling is because we're seeing in GOP states that child labor laws are being eased. And that is such a slippery slope, because what's the next step? You know, getting rid of the 40-hour work week, getting rid of overtime, you know, ending weekends. I mean, how long before the GOP, and especially if they continue taking this federal power, how long before people no longer have a 40-hour work week? They might not even be able to get insurance through their employer. Perhaps they'll get rid of the tax write-offs. I mean, people better start thinking about their day-to-day lives and their work life.
That is a very good point. Let me build on that on a couple of things. First of all, the Republican Party has become so anti-labor that they're biting off their nose to spite their face. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. They are so virulently anti-labor, they ram through Act 10, they ram through Right to Work. But fairly smart business people in large companies, and if somewhat enlightened, yeah, they're Republicans, but they understand the importance of labor unions and how it can help their overall productivity and profits. I'll give you an example. In Germany, there is very, very good labor relations between management and labor. It's a capitalist society, and they do very well. And here, the trades. Remember that Act 10, not Act 10, it was the Right to Work. So construction companies went to Walker and they said, please exempt the trades, you know, the carpenters, the brick workers, you know, the laborers and that kind of thing, because what they do is very, very valuable. They screen out people who are sort of incompetent. They do it themselves. And they all have training sites. I've seen the laborers training site, which is not that far out of Madison. And it's great. You know, it's set up as a construction site and their pulleys and cranes and all that. And they teach people how to do it. And then the employer has 90 days to fire somebody without any questions asked, because if they think they're incompetent, what's left is a highly trained worker. And I knew a guy who was the president of a construction company in Chicago, Newberg Construction. You know, they built McCormick Place. They built nuclear reactors. He insisted on union labor. And they were hired to build a very fancy condo in Naples, Florida. And he flew Chicago union workers down and would not use non-union Florida workers. And they asked him why. He said, because I want to build a quality product. I want it to stand up. Here in Wisconsin, you already have violations of the child labor laws. You've seen that. And it's especially true in meatpacking plants and places of higher environmental risk. And I think frequently they use immigrant kids. And the truth of the matter is that Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal put through an awful lot of labor protections, and over time they're there, and they're for good reason. And that's for kids. But also the 40-hour work week, if you get beyond that, you get time and a half. There's a Fair Labor Standards Act. They're trying to limit that. The Republican Party has gone crazy, and they have also turned on their own donors, who are these large company businessmen who say, no, that's not what we want. I'll leave you with one final quote, and then we'll go to the next caller. Back about a little 10 years ago, Henry Ford was making Model Ts. And a Model T cost $550, which most people back then couldn't afford. And suddenly, Henry Ford raised his wages to workers to $5 a day, which sounds crazy, except that was almost double. There's a couple of bucks more than everybody else is paying. And they all cornered the guy in a country club and they go, Henry, why are you doing it? He said, I'm doing it so that my workers can afford to buy my cars. That's what he said. Everybody does better when there's purchasing power in the middle class. And the Republican attack on unions is disgusting. And in the 19th century terms, it's worse than a crime. It's a blunder. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. Thanks for calling What's Your Mind, Wisco Paul.
Good afternoon, Matt. That was a nice call. I just have to ask, how many lies are untruths, you know, corruption, including trying to overthrow a government, does a man have to commit before he cut ties with them? It's very amazing here. Now you have a Congressman Skiles on board with trying to get him off the hook in New York. And it seems to me there's absolutely positively two justice systems in this country, Matt. The people that actually perpetrated the crime are going to jail, and the guy that put him up to do it, nothing happens. And it just simply amazes me. The world is watching us, and I don't know what Garland's doing, but at any rate, that's my take today. Usually I like to stick to state politics, but I just am simply amazed at what's going on here today. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head. And let me build on what Paul just said, because that's a fact that just came to my attention this morning, and it just happened. But what Paul's referring to, Congressman Style from the Janesville area, the old first congressional, this is the new first congressional district, but it used to be my friend Les Aspin's district, and now it's gone Republican, and Brian Style is the congressman. It just came out that Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, who's bad news, who wanted a pardon, who is in on planning the insurrection, he's the chair of the Judiciary Committee now. The chair of the Oversight Committee, James Comer, who's bad news, from Kentucky, and the chair of the House Administration Committee, Brian Steele, believe it or not. The three of them wrote a letter to Alvin Bragg, the DA, just now in New York, demanding that he turn over his prosecution file to him. All documents, transcripts, witnesses, and everything he has on Trump. That is unconstitutional. It is disgusting. Interference with a criminal prosecution. And then Kevin McCarthy was the one who suggested they do it, because he said, quote, we will probe the indictment to see if there's federal money going to the DA's office in New York, and we'll cut it off. And they're already proposing to cut off Mayorkas's salary, his salary. He's the immigration guy in the cabinet, and to cut off Janet Yellen's salary. Because there's a little known House rule, which I think is unconstitutional, but the Supreme Court would have to declare it that, and the six tarantulas are pro-Republican, that says that they can't pass any appropriation without it passing the Senate and with the potential for veto by Biden, but they can withdraw funding on their own. They think they can, and that's what they're proposing. Now, Alvin Bragg's salary comes from New York. It does not come from the federal government. But there are federal funds that go to New York, and what they're threatening is to cut off federal money to New York. Brian Steele should not be in Congress. You know, let me tell you, I got to unburden myself of this. This goes beyond what Wisco Paul just said. Because of gerrymander, there are eight congressional seats in Wisconsin. Six of them are Republican. If you'd look at votes cast, three or four would be Republican. But one of them, because of gerrymander, is Style, and one of them is Van Orden over in the third district. And they are clogging, their hairballs clogging the drain. Now, Style goes on the air with these feel-good ads. He's such a good boy. He's such a good boy. And Gallagher up in Green Bay, such a good boy. They obviously know that people like Tiffany and Fitzgerald look like freaks. They would If a monkey looked at him, the hair on his back could stand straight on end. But with Stile and Gallagher, they're trying to put a human face. But remember, all six of these people are moving to shut down our government if Biden doesn't agree to cut Social Security and Medicare, defense spending, the woke part of it, food stamps, and everything else. They are doing that. They are doing that right now. And Stile knuckled under to McCarthy and signed onto a letter to Bragg demanding that he turn over his prosecution file. So what? These clowns? The clown Jordan, Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan, who met with Trump Christmas week about overturning the election and the Green Bay sweep? These clowns? Going to the lines. Northwoods Terry, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Northwoods Terry?
Yeah, man, I caught Stile last week on Fox Business with Marie Bartiromo or whatever her name is. But anyway, they were talking about spending. And he says this, Stile says this inflation we got going on is all because of this reckless spending by Joe Biden. So same old talking points, worn out talking points. So that's it, Matt. Great show. Great show, Matt.
Yeah, no, thank you. But let's build on that. Stile and Gallagher, they know that Tiffany and Fitzgerald are freaks. They know that. And they know that they're never going to run statewide. Van Orden, I was glad to see today that Brad Paff and some of the other candidates are thinking of taking him on again. And, Grothman over in Oshkosh, that's an unwinnable district so far because of gerrymandering for the Democrats. But nobody sees him going statewide. But Stile and Gallagher are starting to sniff around. Keep what I just said in mind and what Northwoods Terry just said. Stile, if he's the guy, is signed onto a letter to Alvin Bragg to interfere in the Trump prosecution. That's a prosecutorial decision, not Congress's decision. This isn't Russia. This isn't Iran. This isn't China. Keep that in mind when these clowns, and also the fact that they are all together going to vote to shut down the government. They will not sign on to a discharge petition. We didn't elect them for that. We didn't elect them at all because of gerrymandering. We didn't elect them for that. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today? Gene, what's in your mind?
Things start flowing, but I just couldn't help myself because it makes me just sick to my stomach whenever I see any of those yahoos on my television with all their garbage. I mean, they're aiding and abetting criminal activity, trying to make excuses for a guy who broke the law. Then they're using our government, the people's house, to go after anybody that dares to hold Trump responsible for his behaviors. And they're just as guilty, or even worse. They're aiding and abetting this behavior, and I hope every gall dang one of them. I mean, this has gone far enough. I mean, these people are criminals. They're using our government for their behaviors, and I hope every gall dang one of them are held accountable, Matt, because this is out of line, and they should all be kicked out today and not even be allowed in that Capitol. So thank you so much for letting me rant, but this is sick, and I hope people vote them out. And get Judge Janet in, guys, because we're going to be hurting even worse if we don't do something about this. Thank you, Matt.
Right. Good call. And let me tell you something, Gene. We got to get Judge Janet in there because if Kelly gets in, he's already said he won't change the gerrymander. She will. He's already said that he is not going to. He went around the state with Gabelman and then he advised the Republican Party on the fake electors. He would not vote to certify Biden if he beats Trump in 24. I'll tell you what. The one thing I think I'll leave everybody with, though, we're going to have to come together as a nation. Trump should be prosecuted, not just in New York, but he should be prosecuted in Georgia and by Garland in D.C. for the insurrection. But I don't think we should exalt and so forth. This was a guy who was formerly head of state as well. He's a criminal and he's got to pay the price. But both in Israel and in France, other democracies, they've had prior premiers who have been found to have committed crimes. let's do this in a measured way. We're not going to have any demonstrations for or against, and let the prosecution process take its course. Going to a break. I see you on the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind today, Jack?
Well, there are so many things, but let's start out with this, a little bit of history, as you like to bring in. In 1980, a group of half a dozen politicians went over to Iran to interfere in our election, and that resulted in the election of Ronald Reagan and the defeat of Jimmy Carter, who was arguably one of the most noble and honest presidents we've ever had. Always, when something like this, nothing is done about something like this, and nothing was done at the time, things will only get worse. So what did we see in 2016? Well, clearly the Mueller report showed that the Russians were influencing and interfering in our election once again. But it, not only that, it got worse. Anybody hear of January 6th? If there's a very clear attempt at both political and violent coups to overthrow the government of the United States. Ron Johnson was clearly part of that conspiracy, had to be part of a conspiracy, because there were two states involved, and you got more than one person there, you got a conspiracy. Then we have all of the fraudulent electors that were on the list that had signed unlawfully, lying, saying they were the representative to the Electoral College. I mean, so far, nothing has been done other than to slap the wrists of a few of the people that actually did some physical damage and violently entered the Capitol. But the people that planned this whole thing, nothing. And we've got, if we don't do something about it, we are going to see another insurrection. And this time, it's going to be successful. We've got to do something about it. End of rant.
That it's not a rant, because that is an excellent account of the history in the last 40 some odd years. Let me build on that. First of all, going back to 1980, what Jack's referring to is there were people in the Republican Party who worked to make sure that those hostages in Iran, that their release was delayed till after the election. So Carter looked bad, even though it was Carter that had done what was needed to get them released. But it was delayed, and Reagan obviously made hay out of that. And I agree with you, Jimmy Carter was one of our most noble and honest presidents. I had the pleasure of meeting him and Rosalind, and his son Chip came in to campaign, and we were privileged to be invited to the White House at Christmas in December of 1980. He'd already lost the election. Ronald Reagan was staying in Blair House before he transitioned to the White House. That's the vice president's house, and that was the transition house. And it was a Christmas party, and we went, and a lot of Democrats went from around the country. And I'll tell you, the Carters were most gracious. You know, Jimmy had served with distinction. He was a good president, and it must have killed him that this had happened, but he was gracious, and we had a wonderful time. That was 1980. In 2016, the Ruskies did interfere. They have been funding the Trumps for decades. This just in, I'll break it right now on the news, just found out that Russian affiliates have pumped $8 million into Trump's social, into Trump's on-air, you know, his social media network. $8 million from the commie Ruskies, $8 million. They still have their hooks in him. And then Jack is correct that during the insurrection, there's something like 1,000 people that have been arrested. Something like 600 of them have either pled or gone to trial. These are the guys that attacked the police and all that. These were the stooges. Even the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and all that, they were ginned up by Trump. But none of Trump's people, including Trump, none of the ringleaders, none of the people who planned this thing, the Green Bay sweep, the fake electors. In fact, some, like Ron Johnson, got reelected by sliming Mandela Barnes, blackening his skin in TV ads and lying about him. And he's now back in the Senate to cause more mischief for 6 more years. One thing you got to remember, Jack, and everybody else, do you remember the meltdown, 2008, 2009, the Great Recession, second only to the Depression? 10 million people were thrown out of work. 3 million people lost their homes. There was fraud up and down Wall Street. You know, these subprime mortgages, people privately were saying they were laughing at it. Did you know that not a single person on Wall Street who was in on that went to prison or was criminally charged? Not a single one. Some paid fines. They paid them out of their companies and they paid themselves bonuses. We have a history of that, of letting the big boys off. This time with Trump, he's now running again. He's servile to Putin. He said in that rant the other day that he's going to reevaluate NATO and that keeping Russia out of Eastern Europe is not our concern. That's a lie, but he's afraid of Putin. Have you ever seen two German shepherds and one of them is submissive to the other and presents his throat to the other? That is what Trump is doing to Putin, and he's not doing it just because Putin bankrolled him. There was the report of the Coprophile video out of the Moscow hotel room. And everybody said, oh, there's no proof of that because we haven't seen it. Moscow has been known when they put dignitaries, especially big businessmen, others up, they wire the rooms. And the allegation was Trump had prostitutes in the room. Two of them were KGB agents, women, and that Trump has a peculiar sexual taste, coprophilia. The theory is that if people in his base saw him engaging in coprophile acts, that would turn them against him. He is afraid of Putin for that reason. At the Helsinki press conference, remember, reporters said CIA and the FBI said that Putin hacked into our 2016 election, and he shrugged and said, why would he do that? Putin was looking at him sadistically, in my view. I remember the look. Why would I do that? He was nervous. And he said, Putin said he didn't do it. Why would he do it? He's a man who's being blackmailed, and it's incumbent on us to hold him accountable for his crimes. And starting with Alvin Bragg and Fannie Willis and Merrick Garland and all the state attorneys general and the fake electors. Where are the prosecutions, guys? This guy gets in, he's going to pull us out of NATO and destroy this country. Destroy this country. We're going to the end of the show. It's a great show. Great show. Great caller as always. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.